There in Psalm 13, it reads, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Amen. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, "How God Gets Our Attention, Part 2, Disappointments." As we recap last week, we talked about disruptions. We were able to visit with the prophet Balaam, and more importantly, to listen to his beast, a talking donkey. And so often God will use many ways to get our attention, those that we would never think of. This talking beast actually prevented Balaam from making a big mistake, prevented him from being disobedient for a season, prevented him from walking into the path of destruction. But God also, I believe, gets our attention by way of disappointments. We've all faced disappointments. I don't care who you are. Not disappointments of yesteryear, but disappointments even today. Some of us walked into church this morning, and our disappointments caught a ride with us and said, "Can I go?" And so we came to church today with our disappointments in tow. Right now, you may be experiencing a disappointment. Disappointment almost requires a certain kind of look. I'm disappointed. We even look the pictorial piece of what that may be. We have disappointments in relationships. We have disappointments involving our families. We have disappointments involving friends. And we have disappointments in the workplace, disappointments in ministry. It was Billy Graham, the fiery preacher who would go around the world preaching the gospel, said that disappointment and failure are not signs that God has forsaken you or stopped loving you. He said, "The devil wants you and I to believe that God no longer loves us." But it's not true. God's love for us never fails. So we really journey today with a strong biblical character by the name of David. We first meet David as a shepherd boy out guarding his father's sheep. David, we've sung many songs about David. He would soon grow up and become a major warrior. You remember the time that David was able to go down to fight the giant. They didn't make much of David. He came to bring lunch, but man, he took care of business once he got there. Able to take those five smooth stones and to take out Goliath. Don't you know God will allow you to take out the Goliaths in your life? Amen. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. You don't need stones, but my God, the power of prayer can change a situation just like that. David is the one who gets our attention. David, a king. David, quite the history. If you want to see what it means to do good, mess up, get restored, look at David. My God, there's some David in all of us. But in this stage of life, the David that we're talking about finds himself exhausted. He finds himself depressed. Theologians believe it is because he is trying to get away, trying to run from a jealous king by the name of Saul. He does his best to get out of the way, to put distance between himself and that enemy. And every now and then you got to put some space between yourself and those who mean you no good. Amen. Yeah, you can nod, but it's good sometimes to know how to have space. My mother would often say, be careful, use a long-handled spoon sometimes. You can speak Jesus from a distance. Amen. But it is scholar John Phillips who writes these words that really caught my attention. He believes that we can relate to David. He believes that we wear the slippers that David wore. He says it may be a long, drawn-out sickness for some of us. It might be a financial problem that's caused our disappointment, a wayward son or daughter, an alcoholic spouse, an unsaved loved one. And Phillips goes on to push the point by saying it may be an unreasonable boss, demanding person, jealous, spiritual, spiteful person. But I want to suggest this morning that disappointments have the potential to leave us feeling forgotten and to leave us feeling frustrated. But in the midst of that disappointment, we must learn to live by faith. Can I go down this road for a while this morning? I don't know a person in here who just knocks their head against the wall and says, I just don't get it. But God has a way of getting all of our attention. The psalmist asks, how long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Don't you feel for David? Can you feel David's pain? Can you feel David's encounter? Can you feel that he writes words that would say and make him believe that nobody is thinking about me? God, even you have forgotten me. Oh, that's some deep stuff right now. It's okay if you forget me. I'll move on. But to think that maybe God is not listening to me, maybe God has forgotten about poor old me. I know he runs the world, but maybe, just maybe, he has forgotten my name and misplaced my address. Just maybe. David speaks with passion. He says four times, how long? How long? How long? How long? He's trying to get God's attention, and God is trying to get his attention. My God, David made the list. He says, it feels like you've forgotten me, not for a season, but forever. That you're hiding your face from me. Language like that, the words are written in such a passionate way, it goes deep into my heart. I must wrestle now with my thoughts. Amen. Ever had a moment in life where you just were confused in mind and you didn't know how you were going to make it and you felt like you were between a rock and a hard place? Can I just talk to the church this morning? That you felt that you were in a real tough place, a real dark moment. And here's David. This is David, everybody. And if David is feeling this way, how are we to move forward? Have you ever felt that way before? I'm not taking a poll. I'm not looking at you. I'm not looking at anybody. But have you felt that way before? In a place. But God does not give us a pass. We're not exempt. And somebody's phone is ringing up in here. I can hear it. I've learned what do not disturb me now. That feature gets me in trouble because my wife can't reach me, but I can hear it. feeling in a place where you've been forgotten. Disappointment. Asking the question, how long? Jesus addressed this very question, and many like it in the Gospel of Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can I announce, can I jump the gun and says that God has not forgotten you? God has not left you hanging. God has not kicked you to the curb. I know you feel forgotten. Nobody knows your name. Nobody knows your situation. But God is yet on the main line. Oh, I like that. Tell him what you want. Amen. Saints of old would say, look in your bosom and take the telephone and just give God a call today. Anybody ever done that? You've been in a place in life that you feel like, I just need to call God. I've called everybody else. This sense of being forgotten. But also being frustrated. Verses 3 and 4 says, look on me and answer. David's still praying. Lord, my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fail. We don't like folk to win against us. Yeah, we don't like to be defeated. We don't like to have someone to get the upper hand on us. Am I right? Oh, y'all got some competitive spirit. Oh, no, you won't get me. You know, we're competitive, and we don't want the enemy and those persons and situations in life to overshadow what God is doing. He says, give light to my eyes, because he's lost sight temporarily on what is important. Blindsided. And every now and then we look everywhere else, to everyone else, when we ought to be looking to God and take our frustrations to him. Disappointment has blinded David for a season. Yeah. Disappointment has blinded you and I, that we who have hope all of a sudden don't sound like we really have it. Amen? He was focused on his enemies. He felt defeated, and frustration has driven him to disappointment. Are you frustrated about your current situation? You have tried everything else, and you can call it anything else, but you're just frustrated. Yeah. It's okay for believers to be frustrated. Yeah. You're not so holier than thou that all of a sudden you look the part. I'm doing just fine. No. We have points in our life where we become, because we're flesh and spirit, frustrated to the core. But frustration can also be self-inflicted. If we're not careful, frustration is something that we can stir up in our own spirit. Every time I think about it, I get frustrated. Every time I see something that reminds me of that situation, I'm frustrated. Pressure done gone up and you losing it. But frustration happens. But the God that we serve is able to help us. David was overwhelmed by his emotions. Like with Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. In the midst of disappointments, you and I will become frustrated. We'll feel like we've been forgotten. But through it all, we learn to live by faith. And when I got to verse 5 and 6, I see something happening in this text. I could have left you at 4 and you say, okay, he was right. I'm frustrated and forgotten. But it says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he's been good to me. Is this the same David? Is this the same guy that we just heard from? There comes a moment when David flips the switch from being frustrated and forgotten to jump-starting his faith. And that is what we believe about God. His complaint becomes his turning point. His prayer turns into praises. David says, I will trust your unfailing love. And you know, God's love never fails. Circumstances may shift, but his love never fails. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. My God, I get excited just by that. That I know what the first chapter or two was, but when I've come to a place of praise, and David knew how to put it. He wrote songs and hymns of praise all the time. Can I just name a few? Can I give you the top 40? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell therein. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? This is the same David now who says, how long? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. And here's my favorite. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Oh, down David is singing now. Oh, forgotten David is singing now. And my God, there ought to be a song in your heart today. Yeah. I've been disappointed, but now I got a song. Don't tell us what song he's saying, but the word says we ought to sing unto the Lord a new song. My God, on a new label. Amen. To God be the glory. And Psalm 150 says, let everything that has breath to praise ye the Lord. I can praise the Lord for who he is. I can praise the Lord for what he has done. He died so that I might live. He rose that I might have eternal life. Amen. And my disappointments have made me more determined to press on. The thing that had me down is the thing that motivates me. The thing that gave me sleepless nights is the thing that says, you know what? You can do something with that. Nothing goes to waste when it comes to what God can do in our lives today. My disappointments have taught me patience. And I can't lose sight of the fact that I am an overcomer. And you are an overcomer. That song, We Shall Overcome, the history says it was an anthem of the civil rights movement from the 50s and 60s. That song offered courage and comfort and hope as protesters walked down the streets. My God, we walked down the streets of Live Oak, Florida. Yeah, singing, We Shall Overcome. Not knowing and embracing at that age, but in faith, we shall overcome. My God, right now, I give you permission to let your disappointments go. Let them go through the side door. Don't let them hang around here much longer. I know you brought them with you, but let your disappointments go. Say bye-bye. Amen. Because you and I are overcomers. To God be the glory. And Joseph will tell you, I'm an overcomer. My brothers double-crossed me, but I overcame it. And they had to come back to me to ask for food. Overcoming. And Moses had to overcome the people who were mad at him, wanted to take him out. We tried to get something better for them. They wanted to go back to mean Pharaoh. Hannah says, you talked about me. I was barren. I was disappointed, but I overcame it. To God be the glory. Job, who's the biblical poster boy for suffering, says, you don't know what I've been through. And I don't know many people who named their child Job. But Job had to go through it. But on the other side, yet you slay me, will I praise you? Aren't you glad today that disappointments won't hold you back and hold you down? Daniel says, here I am standing in the lion's den, and I'm in the playing with the lions because I can go to sleep because I've overcome any fear in my life. Paul says, I've overcome a checkered past. You know I was a rascal, but blessed be the God, he can overcome your situation. But here's what I'm most excited about. You know where I'm going. Jesus overcame sin, death, and the cross to bring you eternal life. He said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Now that's just not something I've heard, but don't you know he overcame the world? And I'm glad today because he has overcome, I can overcome any barrier in my life. And because he's overcome, nothing will hold me back. Does anybody feel me today about overcoming disappointment in the midst of life situation? I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that he set me on a rock. I'm so glad that he took my feet out the miry clay. My God, I feel better now. So much better that I'll kick disappointment to the side. And that's the good news today. How to reach the masses, men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave the key. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Aren't you glad today that I feel better, so much better, because I've laid my burdens down? And that's the good news today. That every time I think about where I was and what he brought me through, every time I think about me not being the best, but God has done a work in my life, I'm an overcomer. Somebody get me a t-shirt that says, overcomer. Anybody, have you overcome what you brought with you today? Don't you know that your God that you serve is bigger than your disappointment? The God that you serve can take care of anything. The God that you serve has all power in his hands. And that's what makes me excited today. Amen. Being honest about where you are. Christians try to say, oh, it's going well. Oh, praise the Lord, doc. When all alone, we're struggling. But I just like the way David said, wait a minute. I'm David. And I got to encourage myself today. David said, I just got to do it. And that's where he finds the praise. Yes. He gets a flashback about what God has done in his life. Yes. God is trying to get our attention, and he has many ways of doing it. That is the word of God today. It's already blessed. Thank you, Lord. For a reminder, maybe you come to a place in life, you say, man, I have disappointments all week. And then the pressure is you become disappointed in others. And that puts another layer on you, carrying your burden and trying to carry theirs too. Can't do it. But when you get that moment that you know that God's going to bring you through, you say yes. Some of y'all were smarty pants. You always had the answer. Somebody in class like that? I'd hide behind the smart people. Yes, Lord. I got the answer. Yes, Lord. From the bottom to the depths. Yes, Lord. Completely yes. My soul.
My soul said yes.
Let's say it one more time. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Is that your answer today?
Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart
to the depth
of my soul.
Yes, Lord. Completely. My soul. My
soul.
Father, we come today and we thank you. David didn't try to dress it up. He just said it. How long? And God, you know how long and how long is enough before you come to bring us through, to rescue us, to show us the direction we ought to go. As we come today, God, we thank you for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, who died for our sins, gave us hope that we need today. And through the frustrations and the challenges of life, we can turn to you. Even now, if there's one in this place who has been just overtaken by frustration and disappointments, they may make an appointment with he who's able to save our souls today. His name is Jesus. Make an appointment. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, we have so much hope because of who we know and who we serve. Touch that heart today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.